Take your Bibles, please. Turn to Joshua chapter 20. Joshua chapter 20. We're going to read all 9 verses together. We'll read this passage responsively. Those of you that did not get your chapter of Bible reading in can say you did it in church this morning. But Joshua chapter 20, we're going to read all 9 verses and we'll read this passage responsively. Joshua chapter 20, verses 1 through 9. The Lord also spake unto Joshua, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, saying, Appoint out for you cities of refuge, whereof I spake unto you by the hand of Moses, that the slayer that killeth any person unawares and unwittingly may flee thither, and they shall be your refuge from the avenger of blood. And when he that doth flee unto one of those cities shall stand at the entering of the gate of the city, and shall declare his cause in the ears of the elders of that city, they shall take him into the city unto them, and give him a place, that he may dwell among them. And if the avenger of blood pursue after him, then they shall not deliver the slayer up into his hand, because he smote his neighbor unwittingly, and hath not before and hated him not before time. And he shall dwell in that city until he stand before the congregation for judgment, and unto the death of the high priest that shall be in those days. Then shall the slayer return, and come unto his own city, and unto his own house, unto the city from whence he fled. And they appointed Kedesh in Galilee from Mount Naphtali, and Shechem in Mount Ephraim, and Kirjath Arba, which is Hebron, in the mountains of Judah. And on the other side, Jordan by Jericho eastward, they assigned Bezer in the wilderness upon the plain out of the tribe of Reuben, and Ramoth in Gilead of the tribe of Gad, and Golan in Bashan out of the tribe of Manasseh. And let's finish on verse 9 together. Ready? These were the cities appointed for all the children of Israel, and for the stranger that sojourneth among them, that whosoever killeth any person at unawares might flee thither, and not die by the hand of the avenger of blood, until he stood before the congregation. And let's pray. Father, again, thank you so much for being our God. Lord, we live in such a needy time. Lord, we live in such an unsettled time. And Lord, we live in what seems to be such a wicked time. I pray that you'd help us today. Would you help your people? You said that you would bless your people with peace. May we allow the Holy Spirit to do his work through the preaching of the Word of God today. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I love to see how God's justice works. If you ever want to be blessed, study the justice of God. If you would ever like to know how a Christian and how a person should respond or a country, study God's justice. I love to see how God's provision, his prevention, and his grace and mercy all fit together. God is never for wrongdoing, but God has made a way for those of us that do wrong to have life even so, even though we've done wrong. You have to understand, God understands that even the good things we do is tainted by sin. Folks, those of you that think you're something, you're still a sinner just like everybody else. You're looking at a place where truly the statement is the ground's level at the cross. When it comes to salvation, I don't care if you got blue blood, red blood, green blood, purple blood, black blood, or pink blood. Guess what? The ground's level at the cross. You don't get saved unless you admit you're a sinner. I don't care if you growed up at church or you growed up on the streets. Say, that's not good grammar. No, but it's good preaching.
Yes, sir. Amen.
I understand the difference. Now, God understands sometimes there's wrong that takes place that was not planned wrong. The Jews have finished their 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. They were finally in this place called the Promised Land. That is the land of Canaan. That is where Israel is to this day. That is the land that flows with milk and honey. This is that place that God had promised Abraham and Abraham's seed, Jacob, whose name was turned to Israel. And this is that land of promise to God's chosen people. And they go in initially and they build 42 cities. When they get done building those 42 cities, God says, "You're not done. I want you to build 6 more cities. These are going to be different types of cities. This is not going to be like Eshkol. This will not be like other places. This will not be like Bethel. This will not be like the cities that you have normally built." And he lists the names of 6 cities and where he wants them built. And God said, "I want you to set up these cities as cities of refuge." Amen. A city of refuge. Now, you say, what is a city of refuge? Glad you asked. There are times that wrong takes place, accidents take place, and someone is hurt beyond repair or even is killed. But it wasn't something that was pre-planned. For instance, I'm sure there's somebody in this room right now. You have been in a car accident where someone was killed in that car accident. Whether it was your fault or not, no matter what, it wasn't your fault, therefore, and it wasn't intended. You didn't leave your house saying, "Ha, I'm going to go with my car and kill somebody today." You had no malice, no previous intent. Something took place. There was an accident that occurred. And because of that, someone was killed. Now, you may not and probably did not have to serve jail time or anything like that. There was no malice involved. Now, it's different if you were drunk, just so you know.
Yes, sir.
Say, what makes that different? Because you didn't have enough sense not to drive.
Yes.
I'm not for drinking alcohol, but don't you dare. I think every place that serves alcohol in the world ought to take people's keys and throw them away when they walk through the door. Say, why? Because nobody should be behind the wheel under the influence. That's testing fate. To me, that's malice. To me, that's, well, I don't care about everybody else. I can go do what I want. And if whether I'm sober or not, I can drive home. That's malice intent, whether you hit them on purpose or not. But there are situations that occur to where someone has been killed by accident. Or let's say there was a self-defense issue. Somebody breaks into your home and you must take life-threatening action to protect your family. You're not held liable for that for murder. Shouldn't be, at least. But there are situations like that take place. These cities of refuge were set up to where if you were the one that happened to have to be the one that caused the other person to be either maimed or lose their life, that you could run to that city, you could go to that city and tell the folks at the gate there what took place. They would hear in a quick trial, let you in that city, and the family members or the avengers of the people that were supposedly wronged by you, they could not enter the city and come get you and do vengeance on you themselves. It was a place of protection. It was a place for you to go until there was a formal trial and a formal hearing. And if that family did not get justice served in their mind and they're threatening you, you could live in that city the rest of your life if you needed to. It was a place of protection. Now, these crimes were accidental. Let's say that somebody borrowed your car and your car was, to your best knowledge, in good repair, but something happened and somebody had an accident in your car and was killed. You're not held liable for that. But if the family of the people who was killed in your car because of that wanted to come back on you, by the way, if America would get back to this in our court system, we'd be a whole lot better off too. But you could go to this city of refuge, find refuge there, and people could not seek vengeance for you there. These people could not come and attack you. Now listen to this statement. If you went to Numbers 34, we won't take time to read there, and I'll come back to this in a little while. If you left that city of refuge, though, the Avengers were able to get you. You lose the protection of the city of refuge when you left that city of refuge. Now, the people and their families could run to these cities to be safe. Grace Baptist Church is a city of refuge. Our church is a city of refuge. I believe a New Testament Baptist church is a city of refuge. Now, I'm going to probably shoot holes in somebody's theology here right now, and I'm not saying that they're wrong. For a long time, I've heard people say, well, that's a beautiful picture of salvation. I think it can picture salvation. But I think a city of refuge is more like a picture of a church. You see, you can't leave your salvation and be avenged by the avenger. You can leave a church and be avenged by the avenger. You can leave the protection of the church and get gobbled up, but you can't leave the protection of salvation. Grace Baptist Church is a city of refuge. I like saying it this way. This is a hospital where people come that are hurt. Amen. It's not a museum where we're going to put relics on the wall and say, ooh, look at that, look at that, look at that. I'm glad we've got a hospital for a church. I'm glad I got a young man like Donnie back there who goes to a nursing home every week and preaches and got revival cutting loose in a nursing home. He's got workers showing up to go... go to a church service at work. They're not being paid. They went there to hear the preaching. You say, what is that? That's somebody that's caught the fact that a church is a hospital or a city of refuge. I love that. There's some things I want to show you about these cities of refuge, and I call today's sermon Grace Baptist Church, Our City of Refuge. Number one, the Avengers were not allowed to enter the city of refuge. The Avengers were not allowed to enter the city of refuge. Just so you know, the Holy Spirit of God is here today. The devil's not. Say, how do you know? I'm not letting him through the door. I'm not about. Now, some of you might act like him, but I'm not going to let him through the door. Folks, this is a safe haven. Those of you that had a what we would call a wicked background. You know what it's like when you pull up onto the property of the church and you just go, it's safe. Some of you have some rough family situations and you get to church and it's almost like you go, we're here. There's that little bit of fresh air. That little bit of, boy, there's security here. I'm here, I'm safe, I'm protected. It might not last all day, but guess what? While I'm here, it's safe. And may I say something to you? It is safe. Our church is a safe haven for people. By the way, somebody this week said, well, I know somebody at your church and they're a hypocrite. I said, you talking about me? They looked at me. I said, Doc, let me tell you something. Everybody's a hypocrite. I said, you're a hypocrite. I said, for you to judge somebody saying you know wrong about somebody means you're trying to put yourself above them. Guess what? God called you a hypocrite. He called you a scribe and Pharisee, whited sepulcher, full of dead men's bones. Say, are they going to visit our church? If they get right, they might, but they know where the preacher stands. See, that kind of preaching chases away all those kind of folks, just so you know. And I'm not in the business of chasing folks away. But my job as a shepherd is to protect the sheep, and I'm not about to let a wolf in, just so you know. I'm not going to let some wolf with sheep's clothing on in. I'll protect you. Now, just so you know, we're going to bring people in. Guess what? They're not going to know as much about church. They might be a little rough around the edges. That's okay. We'll teach them. We'll teach them to go from being a goat to being a sheep in a hurry, all right? Don't worry. It might take a while. But I'm not about to let somebody in the door that's going to pervert our church with bad doctrine. I had somebody recently, they visited our church and they said, we liked everything except when you got to this part of the doctrine and we disagree with you. I said, well, then you're wrong because that's what the Bible says. And they said, well, if you're going to preach like that, I won't come back. I said, you're welcome. Come back anytime you want, but you're not going to preach bad doctrine at my church. Just so you know. Guess what? They didn't come back. I hope they do, because that means they'll get right. You say, you're pretty arrogant. I know what the Bible says. I know what's good doctrine. I know what's bad doctrine. By the way, you're going to have people come visit our church that sometimes could be one of our enemies. But guess what? I'm just as much for them getting right with God as I am for you getting right with God. See, cities of refuge kept lists of potential avengers. And you couldn't get into these cities. They were walled cities and you had to go through the gates. They had people there, kind of like what you would have at a military installation. You had to tell who you were going in to see and you had to prove who you were. Say why? Because they were trying to protect the people on the inside. And that's exactly what a city of refuge is. Now, I'm not carding people as they come, just so you know. But I promise you, I know more about the folks sitting in this room than anybody else. And I'll make sure that you're protected, just so you know. By the way, the people inside the city still faced all their legal battles. But they were kept safe while they were facing them. Yep. You know, one of the worst things to happen in America is the press. I think one of the silliest things to ever take place in America is we allow the press in courtrooms.
Yep.
Say, when should the press be allowed in a courtroom? Never. Never. Well, it's the American people's right to know what's going on. You have no more right to know what's going on before a trial and during a trial. You ought to wait till the verdict is over and make sure that it's cared for. See, that's God's plan of justice. Do you want everything that's said about you being printed all over the news? By the way, those folks can't even print their own name right, let alone get the news right. Say, how much of the press do you believe? About 2%. The name of the publication, the date, and the time. And maybe the name of the person doing the reporting. That I'm not even sure about half the time. Past that, I don't believe any of it. I've been around these jaybirds long enough to know. Well, they have this quote. Why don't you play the whole thing, not just the portion that they spliced into that? You see, I believe in justice for all. Not justice for the ones we want to have justice for. I'm going to make a statement here. While you were in the city of refuge, you were protected from those that were slandering you and saying bad things about you. It didn't change the fact that they said bad things, but you were protected from it until your trial was over. Can I tell you something? About 6 weeks ago, I preached on a Sunday morning right here, and I made a statement. I preached from Romans, I think it's chapter 8, and it said, or chapter 6, there is now therefore no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. I explained the fact that no condemnation was more than the fact that you weren't condemned to die and go to hell. That means not only were you not condemned to hell, but that you were forgiven. Doesn't mean just that you were forgiven. It means that you were justified. Your account was settled to the point where that sin wasn't even recorded on your account. And it goes even farther than that. And I'm not going in through the sermon again, but may I say this? The city of refuge was a place of no condemnation. It was not a penal colony. It wasn't a holding cell or a holding city for guilty people. It was a place for innocent people who had had wrong that was done, and they were being protected from people that were trying to hurt good people. Isn't that a beautiful picture, church? Now, I didn't say those people were faultless. But they were not guilty of a crime like they were being accused of. Can I tell you something? When the devil reminds you of your past, why don't you remind him of his future? There are so many people sitting in this room that you live a life haunted by a past. Can I tell you something? You don't need to live haunted by a past. You are in a city of refuge. I don't care if you got saved today, last week, last month, last year, or last millennium. God says that your past is forgiven. It's not even there. God didn't put it on your account. Matter of fact, He put God's righteousness on your account. It's over. Why do you worry about what the devil says? Well, I didn't grow up good, so I don't have... Oh, shut up. Why don't you quit mealy-mouthing God and doubting God and get off your blessed assurance and do something? Say, well, you just don't understand my past. I don't need to understand it. I know what the future is. I know God says, what are you talking about? He said, I buried it in the depths of the sea. I put it as far as the east is from the west. He said, it's gone. He said, as all I see is Jesus' righteousness. What are you holding against God? I get so tired of Christians defeated by their past. Oh, woe is me. There are only two positions in the church that you can't hold with a bad past. And there's only one part of that that disqualifies you, and that's divorce. That's pastor and deacon. That's it. Just so you know. You say, well, I've been divorced. Good. Guess what? There's a place in a church for you called Grace Baptist Church. You might not become a deacon. You might not become pastor. That much I do know. No. But past that, there's things for you to do. Now, I don't have it all ready yet because we're 14 months old, folks. We're going along pretty good clip right here. But we got a long ways to go. I got Sunday school classes to build. We've got Sunday school classes that need built. We got classes to split. Not churches, just classes. We've got all kinds of things. We've got programs to start. We've got bills to pay. We've got programs I like to get started. And there's all kinds of stuff coming. Well, I can't do it right now, so oh, shut up. Why don't you start doing something, bring in some people, do like Brother Lowther's class and start growing so much I got to bust a wall down. Start bringing people to where we have to do something, I'll do it. I hate to tell you this. When God may allow problems, but He's got a place called the church for you.
Amen.
God never promised He would stop your problems. You show me one place in that book where God said, I'll stop your problems. But He said, I'll go through those problems with you. He didn't stop the fiery furnace for Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, but He went through the furnace with them. He didn't stop the lion's den for Daniel, but He went through the lion's den with Daniel. God did not stop these attacks from coming to people, but He made a place available for them to go to while they were being attacked. I don't understand why people want to run away from the church when problems come. I am befuddled why man's reaction is to run away from God, not run to God. Number two, cities of refuge were a place of no judgment. Did you catch that? Cities of refuge were a place of no judgment. Grace Baptist Church, keep your cotton-picking nose and mouth shut when it comes to somebody else's business. You say, you're awful bold, aren't you? Yes. For a reason. You know, who are you to judge? Well, I happen to know because I talked to so-and-so who knows so-and-so that saw such-and-such. Oh, that's real reliable, isn't it? I want to know why you're listening to so-and-so who listened to so-and-so, first of all. Okay, getting quiet in here. We don't need people put on trial at Grace Baptist Church, nor hold someone's past against them, because God doesn't. Say, well, did you know about... I might probably know more than you know. Do you want me to tell everybody what I know about you? I do not know where some of these... churches get in their mentality that when somebody does wrong, They need to be brought before the church, and we need to tell the whole church all the bad they did. That's as wicked as hell itself. That's satanic. That's not godly. Pastor friend of mine in another state, won't tell you who, won't tell you where, called me and said, "Brother Bush, I got a problem." I said, "Which problem?" He said, "Just won a man to Christ, came to my church, got baptized, started going soul winning the next week. God got a hold of him." He said, "I got a problem though. They put him on one of these lists for predators." I said, "Oh, God bless you." I said, "What are you going to do?" He said, "I got a family in my church that says if he keeps coming to church, they're going to leave the church." I said, "Tell him goodbye." I said, "Insulate him, protect him." I said, "I wouldn't have him teach children Sunday school class anytime soon, but there's things he can do in your church." I said, "If your church isn't for sinners, what's it for?" He said, "I'm so glad to hear you say that." He said, "I had a Christian lawyer tell me that I shouldn't even let him on the property of my church." I said, "There's nothing Christian about that." I said, "If he can't go to church, where can he go?" He lost a family and his church over it.
Yep.
That man has brought more people to church and have gotten saved and baptized and joined that church than people that left over that. You say, "What would you do?" I just told you what I have done, not what I would do. Just so you know. Say why? Because a church is supposed to be a place of no judgment. Everybody doing okay? I'm going to make a statement here. Hopefully I'll succeed and make somebody mad. Bitter people talk about and think about wrong until it festers and doesn't heal. If you're bitter, you have talked about and thought about wrong so long that you won't let it heal. My mama used to say, "Quit picking at a scab. Pick at a scab, it's going to turn into a scar." Some of you just keep picking scabs at people. And you think about it and think about it and think about it and think about it. What are you doing thinking about it? Some of you think about the past life that you had so much that you won't forgive yourself. Why don't you quit being like the devil and be more like God and forget it? The devil keeps throwing it up, not God. Everybody doing okay? By the way, we're supposed to use every sinner for church. Because can I tell you something? Every one of us are a sinner. Just because your sin might not be as obvious as their sin, guess what? They're still usable. They're still usable. There's very little that this church could not use you for. There's not a person here that couldn't be used by God to go out and knock on doors, tell lost people how to get saved, bring them to church with you. Not one person in this room. "Well, I'm just not being used." Then go do something worth being used for.
Amen.
We're all sinners. By the way, nobody should be refused because they're a sinner. Guess what? There's going to be people that stand and sing in our church that used to be sinners. "Yeah, but I know somebody that sang in your church and they don't have a good past." No. Show me one place in that book where it says you have to be sinless to sing in church.
Come on.
Now, if you're living in gross sin, I'm probably not going to use you. Notice I use the word gross sin. All of us are living in sin. Because we're still all sinners. But there are some moral issues that may keep you from doing it right now. But once you get yourself cleaned up, guess what? I'm going to kick you in the carcass till you get up here.
Amen.
Time for you to start stepping up to be used of God. I'm just going to say it. Our church needs to keep their mouth shut and be like God about the negative we know about people.
Amen.
By the way, some of the negative you think you know, you don't know.
Amen.
Say, "Well, I know something about Brother Logue."
Yeah, I know that too.
So do I. Do you know what I know? He's a good man. He's sincere. He loves God. He's not perfect. But guess what? Mrs. Loeb puts up with him anyway. Can I tell you something? Why does it matter what you know anyway? Your pride is so inflamed. You are so much like the devil, you don't even know it. Well, I know this, Brother Bush. Oh, wow. I don't let preachers tell me all the bad they know about their church people. Boy, that's good stuff.
Amen. Yep.
Number one, City of Refuge was not, Avengers were not allowed to enter the City of Refuge. Number two, the City of Refuge was a place of no judgment. I'm about to have a spell. People who left the City of Refuge left its protection. You were safe as long as you stayed in the City of Refuge. The moment you left the City of Refuge, the Avenger was waiting for you. They were just hoping you'd relax and leave the protection because they're gunning for you. Can I tell you how long you had protection in the City of Refuge? Bible says that you were allowed to stay there and had protection until your trial was over, and that the avenging family dealt with it and they were clear, or you could stay there till the death of the high priest. And once the high priest died, all of the cases were wiped clean and you got to go back scot-free. I'm about to have a spell right now. Because the moment you got saved, you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. My Bible says He died as your Lamb, but He resurrected as your High Priest. If you have protection in Jesus as long as He's alive, we have a High Priest who is in the heavenlies, and He will never pass away. Guess what? You got protection forever as long as you stay in the church. You leave this, and you leave a Bible preaching church, listen to this statement, and you get out from under the protection of a New Testament Bible preaching church, you are facing the destruction of the Avenger.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Long as you state, well, I don't always like what you say. I don't like everything I say. I used to hear Brother Hyle say all the time, did you ever try to preach everything or live everything I preach? Good night. You say, well, do you live everything? No better than you do. I'm trying just like you are. I'm trying my best. But may I say something? As long as you stay in the protection of the church, as long as the high priest lives, guess what? You have protection from the devil. The moment you leave, the avenger, as a roaring lion, seeketh whom he may devour. Bible says that the devil, like a roaring lion, is walking about. That's the perimeter. Walking outside. He's circling the church, waiting for you to leave. Now, not the church building. He'd get tired going around this one. But may I say, he is waiting for you to leave the protection of the church. Can I tell you something? I don't care what wrong you do, stay in church. Stay in church. Quit running away from God. By the way, parents, it'd be a good thing for you to keep your family in church.
Amen.
Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Sunday school. You say why? So they can learn more and stay here more.
Amen. Amen.
I know what I'm talking about. I've watched enough people that grew up in church do wrong. I watch a higher percentage that don't, that live much worse. It doesn't mean that you're never going to do wrong, but you got a better chance. Your kids have a better chance.
Yes, sir. Amen.
They have a better chance. Boy, that's good stuff. Folks, can I tell you how wonderful it is? I live a free life. Can I tell you why? I'm not talking about that I don't have to pay for things. I'm talking about the fact that I have the protection of the New Testament church. Everywhere I go, people say, why are you so happy? Did you ever look at the people in the world? The ones that say they're free? Did you ever look at how angry some of these free people are? Did you ever look at Nancy Pelosi's face? Not very long, at least, amen? And I'm going to make a statement here, and don't get mad at me yet. These are the same people that are coming after your children in the public schools. Everything's for the child. They want to take your children away from you after you've had them. And those are the same people that promote abortion and want to kill them in your womb. The government wants to control your children. The government does not consider your children your children. I have dealt in the last month with two different cases of the government coming in to take infant babies away from homes. Had a family, and I'd never tell you who, where, or anything else. Had a family that had just had a baby. 2-3 weeks later, took the baby into the doctor. Had a little knot on the back of the head. Doctor said, you need to take the baby to the emergency room. Took the baby to the emergency room. They called DHHS, and we're going to take all their children away. Oh, you have to be abusing that child for that to happen. Went through several days, and they called, Brother Bush, what do we do? I said, they live by fear tactics. Stand up. I said, stand in their face and don't give in. I got them to their pastor and helped them and helped their pastor a little bit with the situation. Little advice here and there. Guess what? They won.
Amen. Yes.
Oh, they want to come into my home. I said, tell them to hit the road, Jack. You don't have to let them in. You don't have to let them in. Well, then they'll think I'm hiding something. Let them go get a court order and then let them in. I'll be hanged. They're coming in my house. Folks, when you leave the city of refuge, and when you live outside, have you ever noticed how mean and nasty people get out there? Dog eat dog world out there. I don't live that way. I live happy. I live free. What they call freedom is bondage.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Oh, you mean my daughter sometimes will have friends. Are you on Facebook? No. Can you email me? No.
Amen.
Why? I don't have Facebook and I don't have an email address.
Amen.
She just turned 16 this week. She doesn't have a cell phone, by the way, either.
Amen.
Say, boy, you're abusing your child. Yep, but we're happy.
Amen.
Folks, what the world calls freedom is bondage. I'm glad the only boy my daughter has ever kissed are her brothers and me and her grandfather. It's going to stay that way. Say why? Because she's free that way. She's not some old stray dog rubbing on everything that walks down the street. Say why? Because there's bondage in that. There's freedom where she's at. As long as you stay in that, everybody doing okay? You don't know how protected you are.
That's right.
My critics for the last quarter century. Well, you just protect those kids so much they'll never make it in the world. I don't want them to make it in the world.
That's it.
I don't want them being successful at what the world calls their success. I'll put our kids up against any of them any day of the week. Any day of the week. We'll teach them character. We'll teach them Bible principle. We'll teach them morality. And they'll get more done, I promise you. Well, they're not going to know how to handle all those situations. Yeah, they are. They're going to avoid them. It's real simple. Well, they're going to go crazy as soon as they come out from under all those rules. Those rules don't change whether they are in my house or not. They're in the Bible.
Amen.
If they go crazy, they were going to go crazy beforehand. At least they know what the rules are and where to come back to after they get beat up a while.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Grace Baptist Church is a city of refuge. It was a place for God's people to go for protection. Can I tell you something? We need to welcome people into our city of refuge. We don't need to drag or brag about our accidents. I don't think the city of refuge was a place that the people inside went around telling everybody why they were there. Well, did you hear what happened to me? Folks, this isn't a hunting story. Now, you want to talk about the buck you shot or the doe you shot or whatever, great. But we don't need to be comparing our sins with one another. We don't need to be comparing the accidents to one another. We don't need to be comparing our bad. Why is it that we always want to compare our life to somebody else's life? Well, so-and-so has it better than me. What are you doing looking at so-and-so? Why don't you look at God? Well, so-and-so doesn't have it as bad as me. What are you doing looking at so-and-so? Why do we want to think about gossip? You know what? If Brother Ron did something bad, Kisner, not Howard, because Brother Ron Howard doesn't do anything bad. Amen? Brother Howard's bigger than me. He can whoop me. Brother Kisner, I can whoop, but I'm not sure about Brother Howard. Wait a minute. Brother Kisner did something bad in his life. What good's it going to be for you to know anyway? What good's it going to be for me to know? Unless he comes to me and says, "Preacher, I got a weakness here. Could you help me?" That's it. Did you hear that? He comes to me for help, for me to help protect him from that weakness. And I'll promise you, past that, I'm not going to remember it. I try to be like God and forget what your sins are. There's people in this room, you came to me a year ago to tell me something that was bad in your life. I couldn't tell you what it was. I could tell you that you came, but I couldn't tell you what it was. Say, "Why, aren't you that smart?" I just don't think about sin. I don't think about it. And I hate to make this statement to you, but I'm going to. You are not the judges of who comes in and out of the city of refuge.
Amen.
The high priest was. The high priest is the one that would be at the gate determining who went in and who did not. So who are you to judge whether somebody comes to this church or not? That means we go get them all.
Amen.
We go get them all. As long as I have breath in my body and what little sanity I have left, this church will remain a hospital.
Amen.
I long for this area to have a city of refuge. People that are hurt by the devil. People that are hurt by sin. Where they can run and say, "Can I hide here and get some protection? Can I get healed up to make it and not have the Avenger seek after me?" You sure can. Come on in. Come on in. By the way, we're going to have sinners join our church. Did you know that? Say, "How do you know?" Because you did. "Well, I'm not as bad." Wait a minute. What you just did was worse than whatever they did.
Yes. Wow. Good. Wow.
Good. Matter of fact, God commanded you not to compare yourselves among yourselves.
Amen.
That's just as bad as "thou shalt not kill."
Yes. Amen.
Same book. City of Refuge. Oh, I don't think preachers do it wrong by saying it's a picture of salvation. I personally believe a city of refuge pictures a church better. I really do. A place we can run for protection. By the way, be careful, those of you that want to leave it. Leave its protection. When you leave its protection, watch how bad the Avenger gets you. Some of you might be able to take it, but what about your kids? Some of you might be strong enough to face your Avenger, but what's it going to do to your children? Children don't like to see their parents attacked. just so you know. It hurts them. And they're not mature and wise enough yet to understand how to handle it. I've watched many adults face the Avenger and win, but lose their kids in the process. Because all they had to do is stay in the city of refuge and they'd have been okay. Grace Baptist Church, a city of refuge. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I wonder who today would say, Brother Bush, if I died today, I'm 100% sure I'd go to heaven. I know that for sure. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You can put your hands down. Who would say, Brother Bush, if I died today, I'm not 100% sure I'd go to heaven, but I'd like to know. Would you raise your hand? All right. There are those in this room today. You've been saved, but you've never been baptized. We can take care of that today. There are those that you've been saved and baptized by immersion, and maybe you need to join our city of refuge. Maybe you just need to come and join up with us. We'd love to have you. Maybe you just need to come and maybe you or you and your wife or you and your family and come kneel at this altar and say, you know what? I'm going to stay in the protection of the city of refuge.